I don't know if you'll want to be clapping. I see DJ's pacing at the back there. I think he's a bit worried. My wife often says to me, I don't understand the words that come off your mouth sometimes. So bear with me. I'll try and keep it sanctified. But I'm glad to be preaching this morning and sharing with you guys. If you guys don't know me, just for the international guys in the room, my name's Vas. My wife and I have been part of this eldership team for going on 3 years now, I think. And it's been an exciting journey just to see what God's doing with us as a church and how he's moved us over the years. And I think the exciting thing is what he's still going to be doing with us. Amen? Sound a bit excited, guys. He's got us on an incredible journey. And so this morning, I'm just privileged to be able to be sharing this morning. And as you guys know, we are in our series called, it's on the Sermon of the Mount, but it's called Higher Ground. It's our third installment in the series. And I'd like to say we have begun our ascent to higher ground. Ascent is a funny word, because I don't know which is the silent, the S or the C in ascent. Maybe you would know. But yeah, and so this morning, I mean, DJ has spent 2 weeks just laying the foundation, telling us of what the Sermon on the Mount is about. And I think we have ascertained that this is about the kingdom. Yes? This is about kingdom and kingdom living and kingdom citizenship. And this is about your identity in Christ and discipleship. The Sermon on the Mount has been one of the greatest sermons ever preached because it covers every aspect of life, everything that we need to be good citizens of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light. And if there's a kingdom of light, there's a kingdom of darkness. And there's only two kingdoms that you can belong to. It's either the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. There's nothing in between, unfortunately. Jesus even says this when he says, you can either be hot or you can be cold. But if you're somewhere in between and you're lukewarm, I will spit you out. I will spew you out is the words that it uses. But the kingdom and your identity is key to your influence. Identity defines your influence. And everything about the kingdom is about influence. The environments we're in, the people we talk to, our workplaces, our campuses, everything is about your influence and influence in people's lives. And so we look at the Sermon on the Mount and we see that DJ covered last week, verses 3 to 12, which speaks about character, kingdom character. And so this morning, what I'm going to be looking at is from verses 13 to 16, and I believe this speaks right into identity. Who are you in Christ? Jesus says that you are salt and you are light, and we'll get to that as it starts to unfold a bit later on in the preach. But what I want to just cement for you this morning is that your identity is absolutely key to your influence. If you don't know who are you influencing? Because you can either have a positive influence or a negative influence. But kingdom is all about positive influence. How are we changing things? And so our identity and who we are and what we believe of ourselves determine much of our influence. Our identity drives our purpose, our behaviors, our actions, which in turn affects our influence, either in the negative or a positive way. So let's just get this. Identity, functionality, influence. Who you are is what you believe, and this would be what your influence is. Can we get that? Right? Identity, functionality, influence. That's the kingdom. What's our influence? And so let me give you an example of this. Where's Claude? Claude did amazingly well in worship this morning. If y'all didn't know, Claude led this morning. And how well did she do? It was amazing. Well done, Claude. Claude is a teacher. Some of our identity lies in the fact that she's a teacher, right? If Claude doesn't teach, what influence does she have? There's no influence. So as a teacher, she's got to teach functionality so that she can have the influence that she needs to have with her kids and the environment that she's in. We good? Identity, functionality, Influence. Here we go. So that's the aim, right? That when we understand who we are in Christ, we start to do the things of the kingdom. We start to behave like citizens of the kingdom. And then our influence becomes what it needs to be to the world. Good? So with that, let me get to my text for this morning. Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Can we pray? Father, we just thank you for this morning, the opportunity that we get to come and sit under your word to hear from you. Father, I pray this morning that you would open up our ears to hear, our eyes to see. And may our hearts be just open before you in this next few moments, Lord. We give you praise this morning. Amen. So salt of the earth, our first point that we're looking at. I was actually so amazed to find out that there's over 14,000 different uses of salt. Can you believe that? 14,000. So I'm going to start from number one and see how we can kind of like just get a bit of a spiritual background behind this. Nah. But did you know that salt actually keeps away frost? So I'm sure we all this morning, or some of us may have woken up and there was frost on our cars and our windscreens. So here's a tip for you. If you can take a sponge or cloth in a salt solution, wipe it on the inside of your window, it keeps frost away. I think we can do a sermon on that, on how to keep the cold stuff away. Yeah? Or for some of you ladies here, it actually reduces eye puffiness. Oh. I see Karen goes, ah, here we go. So if you actually mix a teaspoon of salt in water and use a cotton wool and dab under your eyes, it actually gets rid of puffiness. Not in your eyes. Have you tried? Yes. Can't you see there's no bags under my eyes? There's some other bags, but no. It's not. But this morning, you know, just looking at the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus was trying to say to his followers and those that followed him up, there's just three areas that I would like to focus on, which I think is relevant for us when we look at salt and what salt is, right? And so the first thing is that salt is good for seasoning. DJ, I'm sure. Yeah. So I'm sure we can all agree that using salt and the use of salt in food actually seasons food so well. Me being an Indian, I think having curry without salt, man, that's the worst. I think Kaylee actually gets a lot of this because she does the rice in our house. She's responsible for that. And every time she would put less salt in the rice. And I would say, Kaylee, we need more salt. And so we can agree that salt is a great agent for seasoning, right? When my eldest daughter was born, or when she was at an age when she knew what McDonald's was, and she became addicted to it, I'm sure that many of your kids, or your kids are, the one thing that I used to love is McDonald's chips. They just had a way of putting the right amount of salt in that chips to keep you addicted, and you would come back. And then somewhere between her and Skylar, there was some health freak that probably joined the McDonald's franchise. And they just stopped putting enough salt in their chips. And it was horrible. Imagine you go to there and you're expecting this sumptuous packet of chips. And you take the first bite and, man, this has got no salt. Then you got to go dig into that packet and look for those little sachets and try and salt it enough so that you could enjoy it. But I'm sure that when it comes to taste, that salt adds a lot of seasoning to food. And so it's flavorsome, and so Jesus says this, be salt. But the question I have for you this morning is, are you seasoning your environment? Are you the ones that are good, flavorsome for your environment? In whatever environment you are, be it your schools, be it your campuses, be it your work environment, are you being good salt for people? And so at some point during this preach, not good tasting to people, but at some point during this preach, there was one late evening that I actually decided I need to snack now. So I made a bowl of popcorn or a pot of popcorn, nothing spiritual about it. But in the moment of adding that salt, I kind of like figured, why do we do this when we are sprinkling salt? There's a picture of that, I think, that I have. Yeah, here we go. It's a weird thing that we do when we are taking salt. This is what we do. We sprinkle, right? And so I kind of just felt that this is the way that Jesus sprinkles us out into the world for goodness. For us to be salt, good tasting salt. And so the first use of it is that as we encounter our environments, as we go out into our places, as we step out into the world, there's a sprinkling of God's goodness, of God's flavor. And so are we affecting our environments? You get a lot of people, and I'm sure you've all encountered them, that is just so negative, just so cynical, that everything about them is like complaining, bitterness, unhappiness. And so we are meant to be that sprinkle of salt, that sprinkle of positivity. So every time you do this now, and every time you're encountering negativity, there's a sprinkling of salt that we need to add some seasoning into our environment. So I've got a friend of mine, really good guy, somewhere in his 60s, but absolutely cynical, absolutely negative. When it comes to this country, everything is a problem to him. He would complain bitterly about a lot of things. And so the one day we were just driving out to sites and we were together, a couple of guys in the car, and a guy cuts in front of me and I'm driving. And there he goes, starts his complaining. This country and this people and this government and this corruption and this and this and this and that. And he just goes on and on. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, are you ever going to stop complaining about this country? And in that moment, he loves India. India is like everything that's good is in India. And so in my frustration, I just blurted out to him and I said, why don't you go back to India? Seriously, just go back to India. And I think at that point it was chili powder, not so much salt that I was throwing out. But I just go back to India. If India is so great, go and live there. And we ended up in this huge argument. And I just like thought, I kind of quietened down a bit. And end of the day, and I just kind of thought about this, how can I put some sort of positivity into this? And we're really good friends. We speak to each other every day. So the next morning, I get on the phone with him and I say to him, hey, listen, man, apologies about yesterday. But let me say to you that for your entire life, you've lived in this country. You've built a life here. You've got a home. You've got a car that's freehold. You've got kids. You've got grandkids. And there's so much of good that you've experienced being in this country. Your kids all have homes. And you've built a life in this country. You cannot be complacent. 60-some-odd years he is. India's great. But this country has given you a lot. Are we sprinkling salt? When there's complacency, when there's people just being negative, and there's lots of it, there's lots of things we can be negative about in South Africa. But there's also a lot of things that we can be grateful of. And the fact that God has positioned you here in this time, in this place, in this country, in this city, there's a purpose. And so we need to find that. Salt seasons. Colossians 4 verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We have opportunities every day for that sprinkling. God's goodness in the earth, salt of the earth, changing mindsets. changing negativity, speaking positive kingdom, so that we become kingdom influencers. Salt seasons. The second thing about salt, which I never knew, is that salt actually brings out the taste in other ingredients. So besides seasoning and being great on its own, it actually helps the other ingredients to become better, to taste better. And that's incredible. So basically, when you add salt to the mix, everything around it gets better. So the picture is that for us, as we are adding and as we are seasoning, others around us should be getting better. We should be pushing others to be better, to shine, to flow in their giftings. Impacting community is what salt, being the salt of the earth, is. Philippians 2, 4 to 5 says, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among you yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So get this, salt is actually invisible. Did you all know that? When you add salt to anything, you don't see it. It's something that's invisible. And so here's the picture, is that as we are seasoning our environments, as we are seasoning this earth, and as we are making other people do well, we ourselves are actually becoming invisible as salt of the earth. Not being seen, not seeking recognition, not looking to be in the limelight, but actually, who can I send forward? Who can I help in their journey? Who can I help be better for society? Who can I help to be better in this environment? Seasoning our environments, making others look good, making others look better. Incredible analogy of what salt is. You agree? Some amens would be good. One of the other properties of salt is that it preserves. Salt preserves. First century people understood this well. Back in the days, no refrigerators. So the people that Jesus is speaking to here understands salt as a preservative. So at the risk of sounding a bit cynical this morning, I'm sure we can all agree that this world is dying, is decaying, is rotting. Salt in the earth is preventing that decay. And so, if you have a picture of, I think we do, of salt preserving, is that you pack salt in. So meat, if you want to preserve meat, you don't have a refrigerator, you pack salt into the meat so that it lasts a bit longer. And so we become those agents that, and people and children of the earth, that helps preserve the earth. But Jesus has got us into society, into this world, on this earth, so that we can preserve its goodness. And so, I think one of the biggest issues we face as a people right now is gender fluidity. Right? I think it affects every area of life. Because with that, society is decaying. Values are decaying. Morals are decaying. Marriages and the definition of marriage is actually decaying. Sexuality is decaying. Gender is decaying. Masculinity is decaying. Femininity is decaying, if I pronounce that right. Our role models in life are all at a point of decay. And as a preservative, that's what our responsibility is. Jesus is saying, salt of the earth, go out and preserve the earth. Keep it from decay. We are on a daily downward spiral of decay. Like I said, not meaning to be cynical in any way, but that is the reality of where we're at. Kingdom tells you, preserve goodness, preserve kingdom values, preserve marriages, preserve humanity. Jesus sees this in the brokenness of humanity. And his answer is just not prayer. And prayer is good, guys. We can pray as much as we want. But the responsibility as his children, as kingdom citizens, is to go out and preserve everything that is good. So his answer for humanity is Christians. Can you imagine a world without Christians? How far more would the decay be? How far more would this earth rot without Christians? So it's vitally important for us as believers, as kingdom citizens, understanding this identity of what salt is. Salt seasons, it brings out the best in others, and it preserves. Part of kingdom is, and kingdom identity is knowing who we are. Put on this earth by Heavenly Father to preserve the earth. Know who you are. And guess what's the beauty of this? As salt, we get to do this together. Can you imagine going to your cupboard, pulling out your container of salt, got a nice juicy piece of steak, and you take one grain of salt and try and season that? That ain't happening. But this is what happens when we take a bunch of salt and sprinkle it. So in our togetherness, we get to be salt to this earth. Partnering together. Nelly shared so beautifully about the outreach. Guys, take someone along with you. When we're going out, when we are doing our outreaches, grab someone along with you and say, we are going to sprinkle some salt. Everything that is good, everything that's of value, everything that is of the kingdom is what we are going to sprinkle out as we go. We have a bunch of guys that play football on a Monday night, and I've been amazed. Okay, it's not the most godly thing I know, right? But it's been amazing to see that even in that little get-together that we have, that other guys in that venue, hey, who are you guys? And the moment we say, hey, we are a bunch of guys from church, it's like, oh, really? Yeah, we're just getting together, having a good time, and that's our witness, is that Christians can have fun. You didn't know? You can smile. You can enjoy life. And at the same time, sprinkle a bit of salt, a bit of goodness. This church, Hope City, in our togetherness and as we gather, we should be good salt, preserving this community, preserving this environment. And so in our togetherness as churches across this city, we get to touch a nation. We get to preserve a nation. The body, internationally, on a whole, gets to preserve decay on the earth. So we're important in this equation. And this is what Jesus is trying to bring across to us. Salt of the earth, affect your environment, change your environment, change perspectives. Everything positive we see in the kingdom, out in the world. Salt of the earth, salt seasons. Amen? We still good? I've got about 13,900 more to go. So the second thing we see is found in verse 14, which is light. You are the light of the world. It reads, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus never claimed to be salt, but he did claim to be light. And he entered into this world. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is our entry point into kingdom, guys. The great light that entered into this world of darkness now gives us light in us. And that's where we get Matthew 5:14 saying, you are the light of the world. You reflect, you're a reflection of the light of the world, which is Jesus. As light in the world, he says, now go out and be light to everyone. So darkness, and the definition of darkness is the absence of light. The only way darkness exists is if there is no light. The darkness is where no light exists. Load shedding. I think we experienced a bit of that before the meeting, right? But this is what Jesus is saying to us. This little light illuminates. It shows people the way. I'm sure if I put this off, no one's going to see me now. But this is what you are to the world. A dark world, you are the light. And as you shine, you are attracting people to you. And so, okay, and so we start to lead people from this. First century didn't know what artificial light was, right? Their context was little oil lamps that they would light to try and illuminate a room. And the thing was is that they would hold it up this way. They would light it, and this is where they would hold it, so that it would show people and people are able to see. I want to invite you this morning, if you have a cell phone here, to take it out and switch on your torches and hold it up. As you can see, as this is being done, what's happening? There's more light in this room. Expelling darkness, getting rid of darkness. This is what we are in our space. As we do life every day, this is what we are. We are light shining. So let me help Kaylee's here. Kaylee's, you can come out. Where are you? Kaylee's, watch the keyboard, Kaylee's, that you don't knock over the keyboard. Watch those cables there, Kaylee's. Here's your stair. Here's the stair. Watch, don't knock over the lights. You see this, guys? What we are doing as light in the world is showing people and reflecting them to the, and showing them to the true light, which is Jesus. Showing them the way. Pulling them out of darkness. This is what we're meant to be doing. As we are reflecting the light of Christ, we can put the lights back on. We get to lead people out of the darkness into the light to Jesus, the great light, to the Father. Ephesians 5 says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. But this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." You know what the good thing about this is? It doesn't say shine your light into people's eyes. And I think we love doing that as Christians. Pointing out what's wrong. Pointing out what you're not doing right. Being judgmental. And we sit on this righteous, or this high righteous horse, right? That's shining it into the... And what that is doing is actually just blinding people. What it's saying is, let your light shine so that people would be turning to God. So I want to end this morning with reading this verse out of the Message Bible. And this is what it says. Let me pause for effect. Now I'm just going back to my notes to see if I missed something. This is what it reads. Salt and light. Let me tell you why you are here. This is Eugene Peterson's interpretation of the scripture, right? Oh. You're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste goodness? You've lost your usefulness, and you will end up in the garbage. Okay, that's a bit harsh. But thanks, Eugene. Here's another way to put it. You here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. This is what Jesus is doing for us, guys. Jesus does the work, not through our effort. It's Jesus doing the work, putting you on this lampstand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. That's all we need to do, is shine. Keep open hearts. be generous with your life, be opening up to others. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So what's our purpose? Everyone's looking for purpose. Our purpose, be salt, be light, shine, so that people would see God and turn to Him. The only way this world would be different is if people know God. And all this is doing, and as we are being salt and as we are being light, is showing who the Father is, who God is. And that will change this world. Amen? Can I ask you guys to stand with me this morning? Salt and light. As we leave this morning, I would just love to pray for two things. Firstly, if you do not know the light, and you need some light in your life, and you do not know what it is to walk in relationship with Jesus, I would love to pray with you. I would love to pray for you, showing you the love of God, showing you who the true light is, and introducing you to Jesus. So if that's you this morning, can I ask you to, after the meeting, just come forward, and we'd love to pray for you. Our leaders are in the front. We'd love to pray with you, and we'd love to lead you to the true light. And the second thing I'd love to pray for this morning is just for us to realize the difference that we make on this earth, and being true salt, being good salt, and being light to this world, and that there would be a boldness in us. Because this world is dying and decaying, and we're the only one that can stop that and preserve that and slow down that process until Jesus comes. And so I would love to pray for us for boldness this morning. And we would be out in our environments just shining for Jesus.